The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to CIO Talk Radio with your host, Sunjo Gall. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on this show are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers. Here's Sunjo Gall.
Good morning and welcome to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. Today's topic is Business and IT Strategy, Align or Converge. Our guests for today's show are Andre Mendez, who is the Chief Information Officer with Special Olympics International. Good morning, Andre.
Good morning, Sanjog. How are you?
Very good, very good. How's life treating you?
Oh, not too bad, not too bad. The sun is shining here in Washington, D.C., and the snow is surely receding. So all looks good as we approach the holiday season.
Beautiful. Hope you enjoy it with your family. We also have Ashel Stevens, who's the Chief Information Officer with the Board of Education with the City of Chicago. Good morning, Ashel.
Good morning, Sanjo. Good morning, Andre. How are you guys doing?
Good morning, Ashel.
Good morning. Happy holidays to you.
Thank you. So
how's life with you? How's the city doing?
It's great. It's great, great. We've had snow the last couple of days. That's ending for us. Maybe we'll still have a white Christmas, but the weather is decent around the 30s in Chicago, so going well in Chicago.
Thank you again for accepting the invitation here. Now, the topic, of course, you know, in the holidays, you don't want to be taking a serious topic, but let's take a stab at it at least. This is something that business and IT grapple with all along. There's a tug of war that happens. And then we at the IT end try to align business with IT or IT with business. The question is that did we actually have to even go through this chronic war, if you will, if we in the first place try to converge? Is this by design that we are keeping it separate, or this was something which we could have attempted to bring together? Andre.
Well, I think that to a large degree, some of these issues around alignment are artifacts of the evolution of technology as such an important and preponderant player in just about every company's business nowadays. Where before the technology component was more of an enabler of general business practices, you know, as time has evolved, to a lot of companies, IT has really become a backbone of the entire business. It has become sort of a lifeblood and a differentiator that allows a business to operate more efficiently with higher margins than their competition. And so as that role became so much more important, it's only normal that that you would experience some degree of struggle, especially because IT as a topic is a fairly complex environment that has to deal with all of the issues associated with reliability and mission criticality. And, as those become, again, more important because of how fundamental IT is to the operation of a business, it is only normal that you'd see some of that friction, some of that alignment, as IT becomes the force that it is within an organization.
So, Ashel, what do you think is going on here?
So, Sanjog, I agree with Andre. To a certain degree, I think there is the illusion that there's this misalignment between IT and the business, because theoretically, we are a part of the business. Cannot exist if we're not working with the business to achieve our goals. I think it's a huge mistake to think anything other than that. For years, IT, however, has been tasked with running the business, to focus on automation, which means that you're focusing on changing business processes, making them better. However, if you fast forward to today, the business is now in an era where they need to transform, where they need to grow. And so for IT to help support that, we now have to be at the table with them, We can't think of ourselves as working beside them. Here in Chicago, I have to believe that my job is to help children receive a quality education, and I have to understand what that means. And if I don't understand what that means, then I can't help the business to be successful. So it's almost impossible for IT to run separately. So the idea that it's actually happening is a little incorrect. I think that what you see is a transition of how IT is now supporting the business, and it's the struggles as IT transforms along with the business that we're seeing as a result.
Now, one of the things, Andre, you mentioned that, you know, it is seen as complicated and not as intuitive as any of the other functions. Is it, again, because we wanted a halo effect around on our heads, basically, as IT people, and over a period of time that got literally transplanted there? Or is it something that is by very nature of the moving target? So suppose it's a marketing function. So it's marketing at the end of the day, which people understand what it is supposed to do. But it seems like our definition of what technology is and what it can do is it just keeps changing, or it is complicated for some reason to the world out there.
Well, you know, it's that complication factor is also, again, a result of the evolution that IT has had to go through, because the needs exploded as we made functionality available. But with those needs comes a certain lack of maturity in terms of providing them that leads to complexity. And so what I think we will see going forward is we will see the sort of the creation of more and more abstraction layers of what this technology brings to the table and how it brings it to the table, so that eventually becomes a utility type of service. So, you know, when you look at the landscape today and you're seeing the evolution and the penetration of, you know, systems like, you know, software as a service and cloud computing, what you're seeing is the attempt finally, by virtue of maturation, to remove a lot of that complexity away from the implementation of IT, so that the IT infrastructure within an organization can then concentrate on the value-added layers that are so essential to that alignment, so to speak, which again, is a misnomer, and I think Archelle is very right in what she said. Because going forward, you know, this concept of alignment, it just shouldn't even exist. It is just a de facto issue that IT is an intrinsic part of business. It is an enabler of business. So it needs to be automatically aligned just by virtue of what it brings to the table. And, you know, in a lot of cases, it actually, you know, goes beyond that and it starts being the driver of business. Because when you look at, for example, you know, the impact of CRM systems on, you know, a lot of the companies that are heavily reliant on them, the functionality of those systems is actually dictating the business practices now rather than the other way around, because there's just so much new stuff that is being brought to the table that enhances the way that the business goes about generating profits, that not being aligned with that state-of-the-art functionality would certainly mean that the company couldn't be operating at peak capacity.
Now, do you think that the other business functions that we look at, and this is I would start with Archelle here, like you would have marketing, you'd have customer service, and while they would use a tool, but do they feel as separated from business and they make a conscious attempt to be aligned, if you will, with business?
And again, Sandra, going back to the point where I don't think IT makes a conscious decision to not be aligned. I think with departments such as marketing, it's easier for the business to see the end result. It's easier for the business to understand what a marketing campaign looks like, or they can understand what a support strategy is. The IT concepts are very difficult to grasp. And in those instances, you go out and you get your experts. So IT becomes the expert for that vertical. Now, what IT has to do a really good job of is making sure the business understands so that they realize our value. And that has been a very difficult process. Explaining IT in the terms of business value is something that we constantly struggle with, but we're going to get good at it. We're going to get better. And once we get really good, I think that will clear up this idea that somehow IT is not aligned. I think we just have to do a better job of making sure that the business understands our value on their terms.
So what you just said makes, you know, it almost looks like that, say, 10 years from now, if we keep doing the job as we're supposed to, we should become like any other function, because then we should be able to directly relate any investment that they will make into IT will have a tangible business value related number in front of them that we could present.
Absolutely. I just worked with Gartner, attended a Gartner seminar, and there they drilled in a lot on business value, understanding that your job is to help run, to grow, and transform. And to be really good at helping to grow and transform, it's about talking about the business in business terms. And eventually we should all be able to do that.
Now, Andre, when we actually look at the strategy itself, you know, we create, of course, a business strategy that happens in the ivory tower. Howsoever they make it depends, howsoever they get the input. Now, we also have an IT strategy, which we keep separate, and yes, we take some pointers from where the business wants to go correspondingly what we will do in IT. But when you also create a marketing strategy or customer service strategy, is that inhaled into that overarching business strategy versus IT strategy remaining as a separate component?
Well, again, it depends on which role of IT you really are talking about. Because if you're talking about IT as the utility, the underlying infrastructure that enables business to operate, you know, there is a different set of premises. If you're talking about the IT that is the differentiating IT, the IT that brings, you know, additional business functionality above and beyond just the utility factor, then, you know, it's a completely different picture. Because in a lot of cases now, then you will not be able to implement your strategy, so to speak, without having that IT component in there that supports that particular strategy. Let's say that your strategy, for example, as an insurance company, is to differentiate and to, you know, create more and more segments of your insured population so that you can maximize your margins with all of them and really do some serious business intelligence in terms of how to go about setting those rates and everything else. Well, then, you know, you're not really talking about the IT that allows you to log on to a network, to access the internet, to do email, to do, you know, file sharing and storage. You're talking about having a complex set of business intelligence tools that will enable that particular marketing strategy and business strategy to succeed. So to think that they could be separated and decoupled, you know, is almost insane, you know, because, again, as a lot of the value that is being brought to the table by business is more and more dependent on IT functionality, we get to that upper layer of functioning where, you know, the business and IT are indistinguishable. They are one and the same. Because it is the IT functionality that enables that particular part of the business to operate and to succeed. So, to a large degree, there is this line of demarcation between what is utility IT, software as a service, cloud computing that just provides all of this stuff that people need in order to do their business, and then that vertical application, that vertical functionality that is unique to your business. And that is going to help you make your margins. That is going to help you to create shareholder value. And so, you know, at that point, you know, the concept of alignment is totally and completely passé. The IT function is the business itself.
So, Arshel, if I were to take your IT strategy document and also your business strategy document, could this be given to the counterparts and the other party, like your IT strategy read by a business leader? And you reading a business strategy, is that totally intuitive, at least at the strategy level today?
Well, again, to Andre's point, that the IT strategy is a part of the business strategy. So absolutely, because I can't create my strategy unless I understand what the business goals are. So, yes, absolutely. And we all know that sometimes the business goals are not clear, or it takes time to finalize what the business goals should be, and IT has to make some assumptions. So there are many parts of the supporting IT strategy that are based on assumptions, but eventually those assumptions can be clarified and the document becomes concrete. So absolutely, you should be able to take an IT strategy and the business should be able to use it as a part of their overall strategy because, again, we are supporting them.
Let's take a quick break, listeners. We'll be right back after these messages and look at the aspect where we want to measure, to, if possible, ideally, the precise value of an IT investment. And if we are not able to put a number on that exactly in the precision level that we're expecting, then is that a flaw or is that something we should be able to live with? And is business able to understand that, yes, there is some gray area here, but I think that is acceptable risk that we are willing to take? Please stay tuned. We'll be right back and we'll talk.
Up-to-date business and financial news. Call now and get the financial information you need. 866-472-5790. 866-472-5790.
The experts are here.
Voice America Business Network.
Looking for flexible ways to scale your IT efforts? Then visit www.aval.com today. Aval helps companies find the global IT talent they need to align their IT and business objectives. Whether it's hiring top IT leadership talent or building a reliable technology team, Aval delivers. To find out how Aval can help your company, visit www.aval.com or call 1-800-947-2832. Aval, delivering global IT talent. That's www.aval, A-V-V-A-L, aval.com. Visit today.
Are you ready to go green?
You've asked, and we've heard you. Voice America presents the Green Talk Network. Environmental topics are at the forefront of our society, and the Green Talk Network is here to keep you up to date on the latest trends and new innovations for the eco-conscious lifestyle. We'll help promote a variety of ideas on the environment, from global warming issues to how you can become more eco-friendly in your daily activities. Be a part of the solution, not the problem. Visit the Green Talk Network page on voiceamerica.com and tune in to help spread the green.
Are you ready to grow your business? Listen for the Independent Business Owner Show with your coach, Rick Corrado. This entertaining talk radio program will bring you the tools to help increase your business. You'll learn sales success, time management, lead generation, business development, life balance, and much more. Rick Corrado is here to help you take your business to the next level. Listen for the Independent Business Owner Show, heard live every Monday morning at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Business Network.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free 1-866-472-5790. Now back to the show. Here's Sanjo Gall.
Welcome back. So we've looked at business strategy documents or the actual business strategy that is created, and we don't see many instances where we leave things in a gray mode. That is, you do not have some specific impactful numbers related to any strategy that has been laid out there, which shows shareholder value or bottom line impact, et cetera. There are some components in IT strategy till date which do not have a number attached to them. How is that? Is that accepted by the business community? And is it realistic to kind of put anything on a strategy which cannot be measured in a precise fashion, Andre?
Well, again, I think it depends. I think that there are certain parts of the IT business that can be very well measured. And again, those fall under the guise of the utility type of function. You know, you can look at SLAs, you can look at uptime, you can look at throughput. You could look at, at the costs associated with providing this much storage, this much bandwidth, this many impressions on the internet, and so on and so forth. And that's all very, relatively easy to quantify. There are other efforts that provide value to the business that are more difficult to quantify because they indeed bring to the table a functionality that has multi layers of implementation associated with them, and so as a result, you might not find the direct relationship between a particular expense and a particular revenue, for example, or a particular performance metric. But I think that there is generally an understanding amongst the business community that investments in technology that are well grounded on a long-term strategy for both the technology component and the organization bring fruits to the table, and sometimes those fruits are intangible in the short term, but they end up more than justifying themselves in the long term. I think that for a while, we were just so blinded by the need for ROI analysis on a lot of components that I saw some companies actually avoid some investments in items that would have returned something to the bottom line because there was not a justification that could be made right up front. And of course, we've also seen excesses on the other side where we have fallen in love with a particular technology, with a particular concept surrounding technology, and we've made incredibly wasteful investments along concept lines that were hyped by vendors, by the marketplace in general, and that turned out to be completely untrue. So I don't think that there is a hard and fast rule that says everything's got to have a measurable ROI. But, there's a point where common sense and general intuition in terms of what the likely evolution of the business environment is going to be needs to come to the table.
Arshel, what do you see when you look at your IT/business strategy and you are putting components there which do not have numbers? How is your board reacting to something like that today?
But, Sandra, I challenge the idea that there has to be a gray area in any IT supporting document. For instance, one of the key things in helping to solve this problem is changing the way you think about the problem and changing how you talk about the problem. For instance, there shouldn't be a metric that says what is the uptime for servers or what's the uptime for application. That's a tech term. Network availability is a technical term. But when you think about it in terms of how long or how often a teacher was able to take attendance on their application, then that's in terms of the business. So I don't feel that there has to be a gray area when it comes to technology metrics. I think that as long as we state those in terms of the business, you can make it very easy for the business to see how you're adding value and to see and tie it back to the IT product.
All right. So now if we were to look at the risks versus rewards, of course, the organizations want that, the IT comes and invests, basically right investments are made in IT and the fruits are shared by everybody involved. But what about the risks being shared? How much of a risk ownership do you see carried by the business for an IT investment that has been made, even though that there are some cases being made and some disclaimers being made at the time of investments? Arshel?
You know what? Every CEO needs one person to go to, the one throat to choke, so to speak. So IT and most support organizations have to bear the brunt of being responsible for their products. I don't know that we have the luxury, since we are, in essence, viewed as a support organization, to defend any downtime or defend any errors that happen on our side and point it back to the business. If we think of ourselves as another as a store, if we're at Best Buy, if I go to Best Buy and there's something wrong with the service that was provided to Best Buy, Best Buy has an obligation to provide customer service for me and to help me work through that problem without pointing fingers. And I think IT has the same responsibility. I think all support organizations have the same responsibility of providing a certain level of customer support. So I have to own my product. I have to be the one throat to choke. And I think realistically, if the business, again, understands the value of IT, has some insight into how IT is supporting them, that those conversations are not as difficult to have. Some of the passion will not be there when you're trying to work through to get to the bottom line, that it can be a joint effort in determining what went wrong and what the next steps are to move forward.
Andre?
Yeah, well, it's interesting because I think, again, there is a little bit of a dichotomy between the, the type of IT investment that we are talking about. Let me give you an example, because I think that at least for me, it always operates better when there's an example that sort of illustrates this. When I was at PBS, we were going through a substantial effort in order to basically completely change the environment from a legacy, tape workflow that had been around for 30 years, where television was done with, with videotapes, and those were manually handled from all the way from the producer all the way to the technician that would put them on the reel to send them to air. And as we made the complete migration into a digital environment where everything was stored on a file and was moved via IP, across the entire continent sometimes, and moved to the satellite in an automatic fashion, the amount of collaboration, the amount of shared risk, of shared effort that took place between the broadcast environment and the IT environment and the production environment and the editor's environment and the scheduler's environment and the people that were selling the spots to the corporation's environment and the CEO was absolutely enormous. So, this was one of those points where there was no doubt whatsoever that the entire organization was participating in this project. The entire organization was at risk. And as such, all of the members of the senior management team had a hand in the fruit bowl, so to speak, and had some skin in the game in terms of the success of the project. And so, when it comes to a situation like that, to think that IT could take responsibility, or that broadcast could take responsibility, or that scheduling could take responsibility for the whole thing would be a real, real problem, because at the end of the day, there is an enormous amount of factors associated with the overall rollout of the project out, over which any and all of these particular areas have all virtually no control. And only through total and complete cooperation and, all hands on the table and complete sharing of the risk associated with the implementation, could you even hope to succeed? Because otherwise it would just all devolve into a pass-the-buck chaos and a risk avoidance set of strategies that would make the project ultimately unable to be implemented. So, as we move from the easy picking fruit of clearly delineated authorization lines and scopes of authority, and we get into the all-changing enterprise type of projects, as we so often see today, where the entire supply chain management environments are being put in that affect everything from the producer of the widgets all the way to the front end of the store. You have this complete sense of team and of organizational buy-in that is necessary, that absolutely needs to be present. And in the absence of it, you see tremendous disasters. And, some of the early precursors to this were some of the large-scale ERP projects that were being implemented in the mid-90s. And that were abject and total failures, because at the end of the day, people were expecting this transformation to be, a technology leap, when at the end of the day, it had little to do with that, and it was more about, changing all of the workflow, changing the mentality, changing the livelihoods, changing the thought processes of everybody across the entire organization.
So if we were to ever look at this IT convergence happen, and in fact, as Shell, you also mentioned, and Andre, you've said as that as well, in some cases it is happening. For many organizations, they feel that it has not happened so far. So what is the end result? What's going to be the end result or end state of this whole business entity if you did have this nirvana truly happen or show?
I think that business problems are solved easier. I think business goals are attained. You know, here at CPS, that means that our children are graduating. We see an increase in our graduation rates. It means that we see our children in college from Chicago. So it means that business goals are attained. And it also means, though, that the business and IT and all support organizations have agreed on how that works. They have a process that's repeatable, and they can continue to grow the business with this process. Not to say that it's not going to evolve, not to say that things are going to change and new challenges aren't going to come along, but ultimately nirvana means that business goals are obtained and that all departments have contributed to it, and there's an understanding and agreement on how that was done.
Okay. Yeah, go ahead, Andre.
Yeah. The concept of nirvana, not of nirvana, so to speak, but the concept of nirvana environment like this actually scares a little bit out of my senses. There is a constant evolution that is necessitated some of the fear that drives organizations, by some of the urgency that drives organizations, and by some of the conflict that exists inside of organizations. So I think that to a large degree, having a little bit of a struggle with all of these processes is actually a good process that allows people to be constantly looking for improvement rather than be satiated and satisfied by having accomplished, a particular task or goal. So I think that from a cultural standpoint, from an organizational standpoint, from a civilization standpoint, this continuous struggle for improvement will always preclude us from being at nirvana. But in high-functioning organizations, will allow for very fast adaptation, for very quick movement and reaction and agility into the marketplace, much like what you find, Darwinian evolution. So I think that that's something that we actually need to foster a little bit of that dissatisfaction on an ongoing basis, lest we become too comfortable in our own shoes and lose our edge in terms of innovation.
Let's take a quick break, listeners. We'll be right back after these messages. And then let's look at that, besides the fact that we are giving it a lip service, can we actually take it to a point where business and IT people, or the individuals who are working, whether as subject matter experts or as a business manager or as a programmer versus an IT leader, can they start reporting to each other and also make it more like a mashup, if you will, of the people around, so that it does not look like that IT was a separate department compared to business and they're all working together to make a project happen, and even the reporting relationships are not separated out in different hierarchies. So how realistic it is and how practical it is for it to happen, and would that, if done, give us the right results or the ideal results we're looking for? Please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Whether the market's up or down, or if you're looking to improve your portfolio, our experts are ready to talk to you. Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
Looking for flexible ways to scale your IT efforts? Then visit www.evol.com today. Evol helps companies find the global IT talent they need to align their IT and business objectives. Whether it's hiring top IT leadership talent or building a reliable technology team, Evol delivers. To find out how Evol can help your company, visit www.evol.com or call 1-800-947-2832. Evol, delivering global IT talent. That's www.evol, A-V-V-A-L, evol.com. Visit today.
Listen for the American Advisor with Joe Battaglia twice every week. This is a live call-in talk show where Joe discusses the economic and political events that affect your investments. Joe's macro market calls have helped thousands of investors pave their way to a more secure financial future. As a bonus, everyone who calls into the program will receive a 1964 silver Kennedy half-dollar coin that's been graded uncirculated. The American Advisor is heard every Monday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Variety Channel, and every Friday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Business Channel. Two views,
different topics,
questions,
answers,
news,
and advice.
You'll want to check out Ecoman and the Skeptic live from Philadelphia University.
Every week, join hosts Rob Fleming and Chris Pastore as they tackle a different topic on sustainability.
You'll hear all sides of the issue supported by guests who provide valuable insights.
Get ready to be engaged, educated, and entertained when you tune into Ecoman and the Skeptic.
Broadcast live every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Pacific Time on the Green Talk Network.
From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free 1-866-472-5790. Now back to the show. Here's Sanjoy Gall.
Welcome back. So let's look at that final state, or like maybe if it's a desired state or not, let's discuss that more. But then where the alignment is happening maybe at the top level, so let's bring it down to a couple of levels below in the hierarchy, and you could find a subject matter expert reporting to an IT project manager. Similarly, an IT project or program manager may be essentially reporting to a business unit leader who is running that whole initiative requiring IT to play the major role. Now, is that truly happening today? And if not, what are the challenges we are facing? But if it does happen, would we truly be you know, on a faster road or faster speed to the nirvana that we are looking for? So, Arshel, you want to take this?
Sure. I think that it's really dependent upon the company. I think this issue is dependent upon the organization's project, portfolio management maturity, their cultural, the culture that's at the organization. So I think it's really dependent upon the individual company. I believe that it is appropriate to see that at all levels. And depending again on the culture of the company, it can be or it may not be successful. I know here at CTS we see that today. We see that we have business IT directors that are a part of the business. In the technology department, we have liaisons that that primarily focus on a line of business. So I think we see a combination of that happening throughout organizations. And again, it's dependent upon the organization's culture on how well it works.
Okay. So Andre, would you see that you would make this mishmash of IT and business and would bring you the required results?
I think to a large degree in most progressive companies that is indeed already happening. A lot of it comes from the way that the CIO positions him or herself in terms of the organization. I consider myself first and foremost a businessman that actually happens to have a very good grounding into the technology arena and that tries to keep up with the developments in that arena. But first and foremost, I am a business person that is looking at what my organization does and how to go about doing it in the best possible manner, and also looking at what we should be doing going forward, considering the constant evolution of the market space. And when you hire people, I think that there's a conscious decision that can be made that says that, I am going to hire people at just about every single level that are totally and completely capable of dealing with the business issues, that understand the business focus, and that have the communication skills necessary to carry that out. But again, I would point out that, there is almost this, this dichotomy between the baseline operations of IT and the the upper layers of IT, where the functional interfaces are, that need to be treated differently. I'm a big proponent of outsourcing just about everything in the lower layers so that you can concentrate on the upper layers. And I do believe that that is the future of IT organizations, where eventually they actually become, a contract administrators for the lower functions, analysts and completely involved into the business units at the higher functions. Forgive me. To a large degree, it is sort of the creation of what used to be the client-server environments where the functional areas deploy their own systems, but now at the higher level of functioning, so that they are constantly dealing with IT on a real-time basis as part of their day-to-day operation, rather than as this set of requests and back-and-forth meetings about requirements and development cycles and so on and so forth. It becomes much more of a symbiotic organism that lives and feeds off of each other as they leverage their strengths going forward.
Now, with respect to who drives these initiatives, at the top, of course, business funds it. And IT takes a tactical role of driving those initiatives. Would you allow even a little bit more control, even at the execution side, of an IT initiative and give it in the hands of a business leader or a business unit manager so that they feel all along they can tie it back to the business needs that they have had based on which this initiative was put in place in the first place? And then there is no lack of alignment across the board till the time results are seen.
Yeah, well, I think that goes ways. But the first, very quick answer to your question is yes, absolutely. You know, there is no problem with competent people that understand the nuances and complexities of the business being the leaders in a project that some might think is an IT project. Because in the long run, again, I think that we will see that sort of fade away. But the other side of the equation is also a very good proposition by virtue of the capabilities that CIOs and high-level IT executives bring to the table. When you think about the end-to-end projects that we implement on a regular basis, the truth is that technical people, and technology people, develop a helicopter view of organizations that is unrivaled by anybody on the C-level suite, right? So, when you're dealing with implementing, again, a supply chain environment, a large-scale ERP with CRM component, with the end-to-end optimization that brings to the table, you get a helicopter view of your business that nobody else has. So at that point, I would say that it makes all the sense in the world for us to see CIOs and high-level IT executives migrating into the operational roles, into the COO roles, and eventually into the CEO roles because of the enormous impact that technology brings to the table in most modern companies. So I think that as you see that evolve, those lines will again more and more continue to meld until there really is no difference between IT at the highest levels and the business at the highest levels.
So, Shell, what would you be looking at in this case where the driving of an IT initiative could be handed over to the business completely with you providing your input as someone who has lived IT, but then let them see the alignment of a task being executed to success?
I absolutely think it's where we should be. I think that it's, again, if there is a great understanding between the business and IT on each other's role, and so IT understands the goals of the business and the requirements that have been received by IT, the foundation of the project has been set, and therefore the business has to drive the final result. IT, of course, always gets tasked with being the leader, as Andre said, with large-scale implementations because we have this view and we've done it with our ERP projects. But ultimately, if we go back to changing the way we think about how IT describes their value, there really isn't anything, there isn't an ERP project because that's not how the business looks at it. They look at it as, a project that enables us to automate our financial processes. A project that enables us to better run our human resources capabilities. And so if we ultimately have worked together and IT has done a good job of laying the foundation for the project in terms of business value, then absolutely the business should be able to take it over, should run it, and should be able to lead that effort.
Let's take a quick break, listeners. We'll be right back after these messages. And what we can talk about is the area where a leader at the top may be calling the shots. And you could, you as an IT leader are used to at all times being in control, and you of course get some directives from your business. But then, are you at the top ready to have somebody else hold the baton and become the Pied Piper? And if that is what is required to make IT and business one, is that too big a price to pay? What would be good and or bad in that approach? Please stay tuned. We'll be right back and discuss.
Whether the market's up or down, or if you're looking to improve your portfolio, our experts are ready to talk to you. Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
Do you feel the need for speed? Whatever your addiction, NASCAR, IndyCar, NHRA, Formula One, Grand Am, or even Lambo racing, Pit Pass USA has got you covered. Larry Henry here, the host of Pit Pass USA. I put my 30-plus years of being a motorsports broadcaster around the world to work each week to bring you not only the best guests, but also the most interesting guests in racing, while also never forgetting the local weekend warriors. Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry, your front row seat to the world of racing. Tuesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific on the Power Up Channel. Be there or get a DNF.
Looking for flexible ways to scale your IT efforts? Then visit www.aval.com today. Aval helps companies find the global IT talent they need to align their IT and business objectives. Whether it's hiring top IT leadership talent or building a reliable technology team, Aval delivers. To find out how Aval can help your company, visit www.aval.com or call 1-800-947-2832. Aval, delivering global IT talent. That's www.aval, A-V-V-A-L, aval.com. Visit today.
When it comes to business,
you'll find the experts here.
Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free 1-866-472-5790. Now back to the show. Here's Sanjoy Gall.
Welcome back. So, you know, you want to align business and IT, and then, of course, in this case, converge them. And we want it to run like a business. Like, we have this cliched almost a phrase which we call as running IT like a business. So let a business guy run it. Mm-hmm. Is there a problem with that? Or if you do it, what's going to fall through the cracks? Or what would be the issues? And if you do not allow them to run, what are you going to face today? I mean, what are you facing today or tomorrow? Andre, how would you take this whole paradigm shift, if you will, if this is possible?
I can tell you that amongst my CIO colleagues, I'm seeing a substantial amount of people that don't come from an IT background. Okay, and that the more evolved the organization is, that the more you're likely to see that, because a lot of the IT stuff has now been abstracted. You know, it is run as a utility, and therefore is almost a self-sustaining, you know, and self-contained environment, which again allows business people to now think about business issues within an IT framework. So I think that is a fine scenario. And one that is a natural evolution of the IT industry as it continues to go through its maturation schemes. Again, you know, I will bring it to the other side of the equation as well. You know, if you are an IT leader that is deeply ensconced into its business, that really understands your business, that really understands your industry, that really understands other ancillary industries that nowadays bring so much value to the table because of the connectivity that we see throughout modern culture, then you are uniquely positioned to move into either continuing in that position as a leader of a department, but now with a much keener sense of the overall workings of the organization, or to move into higher levels of the organization where you are responsible for other areas as well. One of the things that happened recently at that Special Olympics is that I was handed the title of Senior Vice President of Strategic Planning, together with the title of Global CIO. As we abstracted a lot of the stuff that was typical IT burden, and that went away, and then it freed me up to move on into other areas. So I think that it is tremendously liberating to have the people from the business absolutely involved in the entire process, and to, at the same time, outsource all the lower-level environments so that you can concentrate on those.
So are you able to actually sleep well with a business leader running something which you may be assisting him or her with it? At the same time, you know that they may not be totally equipped to run an IT shop. Or do you even have that hunch that the person may not be equipped?
I just think that the concept of an IT shop is, in the near term, going to become sort of a quaint anachronism, quite honestly. I think that the things are evolving too quickly in terms of a utility establishment, where the way that we used to run business with a bunch of system administrators and network administrators and database administrators and programmers and systems analysts, the typical environment is becoming an anachronism just about every single day that passes, more and more. So I think that we need to be prepared for that. And I think a lot of companies have already made that leap, and we just need to all understand how important that is, for our companies to thrive in a marketplace that moves so fast, where we can't be worried about whether or not our diesel generator will start when the power goes down, or we need to worry about the network being up if one of our router control modules goes away, because that is all now out of our hands and in an environment where it's being tended by people whose core competency is to do exactly that.
Ashel, do you, when you go out and basically try to make this happen where you're relenting control to a business leader, what challenges and what benefits did you see right up front doing that?
So as always, if there is synergy between technology and the business up front, you have a more successful outcome. But I don't think the idea of getting rid of a technology leader is realistic. Now, whether or not it's the CIO, whether or not it reports into the business versus the CFO or the CEO or the CAO, it depends on the culture of the organization. But if we're realistic, technology is not getting any easier to manage. In fact, technology is faster, is more complex than ever. And now, especially in an industry like mine, compliance is really, really important. So I don't know that the business leader should ever be an expert on technology. I think even if you don't have, quote-unquote, a CIO role, you'll always need someone to be the expert on technology or compliance. And so whoever leads that effort, whoever is your technology expert, is going to have plenty of work in the future.
Now, within 1 minute, any message for the people who are still struggling with this strategy, so business and IT alliance versus convergence, how they can ever come close to the nirvana?
Expose yourself to the unknown, and I know that is really tough in certain environments, but, the ability and willingness to be vulnerable and to let go of old precepts of control of your entire environment will end up serving you well in the long run. Because if you've been doing business a certain way and it's not going anywhere, then just keep doing the same thing will not take you anywhere either. So, it is time to look at the unknown and see what other companies that are successful out there are doing in this environment so that you can sleep easier at night.
Arshel?
I say start with the basics. Start with thinking and talking about IT differently. Speak and talk about IT in terms of business value, and that's where you start, just thinking and talking differently about IT.
On behalf of the show and our listeners, I'd really like to thank you, Andre and Rochelle, for sharing your thoughts about how organizations and IT leaders can basically bring this to a business IT convergence mode versus keep struggling with the business IT alignment. If you have any
questions, send us your thoughts.
Thank you so much again. Yeah. So please send your thoughts to views@ciotalkradio.com. That is views@ciotalkradio.com. Thank you again for listening to CIO Talk Radio. This is Sanjay Agarwal, your talk show host. Till next week, take care and God bless.
Thank you for tuning in to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. Join Sanjay Agarwal next Wednesday at 9 a.m. Central, 7 a.m. Pacific for another hour of CIO Talk Radio.